I know you're there, but I'm looking for a book. I seem to be missing one. Go check, Mike, and see if they got all the books. Out of my car. Oh, here it is. Come and get it for me, Joe. Disengage somebody. Story of the Irish race. Green. Green. Back. Green. 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 You colorblind? Now, the story of the Irish race. A popular history of Ireland. By Somas McManus. Chapter 1. The Irish race of today is popularly known as the Milesian race because the genuine Irish, parenthesis Celtic, in parenthesis people, were supposed to be descended from Milesius of Spain, whose sons, say the legendary accounts, invaded and possessed themselves of Ireland 1,000 years before Christ. There wasn't any Milesius in Spain. There was a people called the Milesians because of their warlike quality, which explains why we get the word militia as a cognate of Milesius. But the legend, as all legends get embellished and twisted, has the root of truth in it. The Milesians from Spain did conquer Ireland. But it is nearly as inaccurate, to style the Irish people pure Milesian because the land was conquered and settled by the Milesians, as it would be to call them Anglo-Norman because it was conquered and settled by the 12th century English. The races that occupied the land when the so-called Milesians came, chiefly the Firbolg and the Tuatha De Danann, were certainly not exterminated by the conquering Milesians. Those two peoples formed the basis of the future population, which was dominated and guided and had its characteristics molded by the far less numerous but more powerful Milesian aristocracy and soldiery. All three of these races, however, were different tribes of the great Celtic family who long ages before had separated from the main stem and in course of later centuries blended again into one tribe of Gaels, three derivatives of one stream which, after winding their several ways across Europe from the east, in Ireland turbulently met and, after eddying and surging tumultuously, finally blended in amity and flowed onward in one great Gaelic stream. Of these three certain colonizations of Ireland, the Firbolg were the first. Legend says they came from Greece, where they had been long enslaved and whence they escaped in the captured ships of their masters. In their possession of Ireland, the Firbolgs were disturbed by the descendants and depredations of African sea rovers, the Fomorians, who had a main stronghold on Tory Island off the northwest coast. But the possession of the country was wrested from the Firbolgs, and they were forced into partial serfdom by the Tuatha De Danann, who arrived later. Totally unlike the uncultured Furbolgs, the Tuatha De Danann were a capable and cultured, highly civilized people so skilled in the crafts, if not the arts, that the Furbolgs named them necromancers, and in course of time, both the Furbolgs and the later coming Miletians created a mythology around these. The Miletians. The 16th century scholar O'Flaherty fixes the Miletian invasion of Ireland at about 1000 BC, the time of Solomon. Some modern writers, including McNeill, say they even came at a much later date. There are, however, philologists and other scientific inquirers who to some extent corroborate O'Flaherty's estimate. The studies of European scholars have shown that these Celts were an eminently warlike people, rich in the arts of civilized life. The legendary account of the origin of the Gaels and their coming to Ireland is as follows. Too hot in here, Mike. They came first out of that vast, undefined tract called Scythia, a region which probably included all of Southwest Europe and adjoining portions of Asia. They came to Ireland through Egypt, Crete, and Spain. They were called Gael, because their remote ancestor in the days of Moses was Gael Glas. When a child, Moses is said to have cured him of the bite of a serpent. And to have promised then that no serpent or other poisonous thing should infest the happy western island that his four posterity would one day inhabit. The legend goes, Niall, the grandson of Gael, who had been invited as an instructor into Egypt by one of the pharaohs, married Pharaoh's daughter Scota, after whom Ireland was in later ages named Scotia. And the Irish Scoti or Scots are the descendants of Niall and Scota. In Egypt, Niall and his people grew rich and powerful, resented the injustice of a later pharaoh, were driven from the land, and after long and varied wanderings during succeeding ages, reached Spain. When after they had long sojourned in Spain, they heard of Ireland, perhaps from Phoenician traders, and took it to be the Isle of Destiny, foretold for them by Moses. Their leader was Melid or Meletius, whose wife also was a pharaoh's daughter and named Scota. Melid's uncle, Ith, was first sent to Ireland to bring them a report upon it, but the Tuatha De Danann, suspecting the purpose of his mission, killed Ith. Melid, having died in Spain, his eight sons with their mother Scota, their families and followers, at length set out on their venturous voyage to their Isle of Destiny. In a dreadful storm that the supposedly wizard De Danann raised up against them when they attempted to land in Ireland, five of the sons of Meletius, with great numbers of their followers, were lost, their fleet was dispersed, and it seemed for a time as if none of them would ever enjoy the Isle of Destiny. Ancient manuscripts preserve the prayer that it is said their poet Amargan now prayed for them. Quote, I pray that they reach the land of Erin, those who are riding upon the great productive vast sea, that they be distributed upon her plains, her mountains, and her valleys, upon her forests that shed showers of nuts and all fruit, upon her rivers and her cataracts, upon her lakes and her great waters, upon her spring abounding hills, that they may hold their fairs and equestrian sports upon her territories, that there may be a king from them in Tara, and that Tara be the territory of their many kings, that noble Erin be the home of the ships and boats of the sons of Milesius. Erin, which is now in darkness, it is for her that this oration is pronounced. Let the learned wives of Brias and Bogi pray that we may reach the noble woman, great Erin. Let Ahriman pray, and let Ur and Eber implore that we may reach Erin. Eventually they made land. End of the quote. Eventually they made land. Eber, with the survivors of his following, landed in Bantry Bay, and afterwards defeating the Danann host under Queen Erie, but losing their own Queen Skoda in the fray, and Ahriman with his people at Inverkulpa, mouth of the Boyne. When they had joined forces in Meath, they went against the Danann in general battle, routed the latter with great slaughter. The three kings and the three queens of the Danann were slain, many of them killed, and the remainder dispersed. The survivors fled into the remote hills and into the caves. Possibly the glimpses of some of these fugitive hill dwellers and cave dwellers, caught in twilight and moonlight by succeeding generations of Milesians, coupled with the seemingly magical skill which they exercised, gave foundation for the later stories of enchanted folk fairies living under the Irish hills. Of the Milesians, Eber and Ahriman divided the land between them. Ahriman getting the northern half of the island, Eber the southern. The northeastern corner was accorded to the children of their lost brother Ur, and the southwestern corner to their cousin, Lugi the son of Ith. An oft-told story says that when Eber and Ahriman had divided their followers, each taking an equal number of soldiers and an equal number of men of every craft, there remained a harper and a poet. Drawing lots for these, the harper fell to Ahriman and the poet to Eber, which explains why, the legend says, ever since the north of Ireland has been celebrated for music and the south for song. The peace that fell upon the land then and the happiness of the Milesians was broken only when after a year Eber's wife discovered that she must be possessed of the three pleasantest hills in Erin, else she could not remain one other night in the island. Now the pleasantest of all the Irish hills was Tara, which lay in Ahriman's half. And Ahriman's wife would not have the covetousness of the other woman satisfied at her expense. So because of the quarrel of the women, the beautiful peace of the island was broken by battle. Eber was beaten and the high sovereignty settled upon Ahriman. It was in his reign, continues the legend, that the Picts arrived from the continent. So goes the legend. Now, do I believe the legend? Nope. And I'll read a lot more to you. Probably no country in the world has more legends regarding its origin than Ireland. They all have a common thread. They somehow get back to Egypt, and they somehow get back to Moses, and they somehow get back to the Hebrews, and praising their kings, and they all encompass in some part of the legend, miraculous works. Whether you take this tale of Moses, which may have a root in truth, there were tribes of Ephraim and there were tribes of Dan. As well as the other tribes who were being bitten by the snakes in the wilderness. When Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, and all were healed. I'm quite sure every prophecy of Moses was not recorded in Scripture. But it's just funny that some kind of miracle is always used to explain the absence of snakes in Ireland. Catholics give credit to St. Patrick and had the news media ask the Pope when he was here if he believed that St. Patrick miraculously delivered Ireland from snakes. He would have said yes. But the media would never ask the Pope a question that would produce an answer that they would find unbelievable. He's just too big for them to embarrass. They only embarrass and belittle people with religious faith not big enough to put them out of business. Now, Catholics believe St. Patrick removed the snakes. This, one of many legends, credits a promise by Moses that a place would be preserved that didn't have snakes. What if Jeremiah brought the ark and buried it in Carr's tomb? When miracles are certainly associated with the ark in the Bible, Philistines carried away and they get hemorrhoids. Kind of boil, not what you thought it was. All over their body. You don't get hemorrhoids all over your body. You just get hemorrhoids all over your Bible. Preparation and body. Preparation H wouldn't help what the Philistines got. If the ark is buried in Ireland, you think God would let snakes crawl around on top of it? Maybe that got rid of the snakes. Ireland's an interesting country. And I'd like to keep talking about it, but only if you keep the phones busy. Get on telephone. Jeremiah took the daughters of Zedekiah to Ireland. The facts are the Milesian kings, so named for their warlike ability, were none other than the ruling members of the Zara clan who had left Egypt and settled the Iberian Peninsula as others of their brethren, formed city-states in Greece, and founded Troy, Dardanus doing that. And these descendants of Judah through Zara conquered the Tuatha de Danann, literal translation being the tribe of Dan. But of course, people who don't want to accept God's hand in history simply will not accept the obvious. They got to make it complicated. The Tuatha de Danann becomes something other than the tribe of Dan. Now, I'd like to stay on this Lost Tribe teaching, but only if you get on the telephone. So get on the telephone.